Yeah, this is us. Say it with me. This is us. In this series this morning, digging into who we are, it's the first week of This Is Us, and over the course of the next 4 weeks, we're going to dig into who we are, our values, our vision, and then we're going to cap it off on Labor Day weekend with a big serve day, and it's kind of that thing where we all come to church and we leave. We don't leave mad. We leave with a purpose, right? And go impact the community. So I'm excited about that. I hope you are as well. Give you a few, I got some notes here just to make sure I don't forget this, but a few things that are important during this series. One of those is, so first of all, how many here do social media? Yeah. Everybody with their hand down has got a lot more time, and so you, bless you. And so, Facebook, if you haven't liked Elevation's Facebook page, I encourage you to do that, Elevation Church of Indianapolis. Like that. We're on Instagram and Twitter as well. But like that. And then also on Facebook, there's Elevation Connect. Elevation Connect is an opportunity if you have a prayer request or something you're just believing God for and you need some others in the body of Christ to connect with and pray with you. It's a great place for you just to, you can post it and people come alongside and pray with you. I see sometimes just a list of people just are letting you know that they're praying, and so it's a great opportunity. And then here's what I'm driving for is this. We have this hashtag called hashtag My Elevation Story. It's a place for you to share your story about life change and transformation, how you came to Elevation Church. Here's what we do. We measure a lot of things, right? I mean, we all measure things in life. Try to bake a cake and don't measure stuff. See what happens, right? Home Alone, my daughter and I, we just about every year at some point around Christmas, we sit down and we watch Home Alone together and laugh. We've seen all the silliness before, but it's just fun to see again, right? And but there's one place where they're counting the kids' heads, and they miss one. You wouldn't have a movie without this, right? They go to Europe, and they're trying to, you know, the whole thing is getting back because they didn't count well. So we measure things, and we do it on purpose. So a lot of things, and I shared Avon last Sunday night about my ping pong revelation of how, you know, I get this picture of a ping pong table and what we do with ping pong tables, right? Everybody knows. Just about everybody here has done this. If you've ever picked up a ping pong paddle or walked by a ping pong table, you pick up the paddles, throw the ball in there, and somebody else on the side, you start volleying that thing back and forth, and it bounces on the floor, and you pick it up, and go again, and, you know, does the Larry Bird, Michael Jordan thing where it, you know, off the billboard and off the steeple and back on the thing, and you still play. And then at one point, it goes off, and you grab it, and you throw it in there, and you say, okay, let's play for real. Right? And once you do that, I mean, if you're playing with me, anybody's like me, it all counts. We're going to argue about it. If it's internet, right? It all counts once you do that because we start keeping score and we start measuring. And so as a church, we do that. You know, baptisms, people in life groups, going through next steps, salvations, all that stuff. We, you know, how many people are here today, right? We count nickels and noses, right? All those things too. And so, but one of the things that is difficult to measure is life change. And that's the biggest thing, right? The biggest thing, the thing we're about is life change. And so my hashtag, my elevation story is a way for you to share. How did you come here? What is God doing in your life? Give us your testimony of how God brought you from there to here. And we're so excited about that. And I hope you'll take time this week or next week and do that. So This Is Us. It's talking about us, about the church. How many know the church is a pretty important deal? So let me help you. If you don't know this, it's the important thing on this planet, the church. Jesus said this about when he introduces the first mention that we see of him talking about his church, he says this, that the gates of hell, gates of Hades, will not prevail against the church. That the church is going to be this powerful force, I'm using that loosely, on the earth that even the very gates of hell, the seat of authority of hell, is not going to be able to prevail against my church. It's his church, right? It's not man's idea. We didn't sit around, you know, guys, and say, okay, let's make people come on Sunday when they could be sleeping in to come to a place and gather and sing like good songs and hear some stuff. No, it's Jesus. It's his idea. In fact, it's his idea, and he talks about it. In fact, in Pastor Greg was sharing last week about how when we approach death, how, you know, conversations change, right? And somebody on their deathbed's not saying, man, did I put the trash out this week or not, right? We're talking about the serious stuff. Jesus in John 17, he's approaching the cross. He's en route. Bible says this, he endured it with joy. So he's headed to the cross and he's praying, and his prayer is, Father, that they would be one as you and I are one. The passion of his heart is the church. Ephesians 5 says this, that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church. Sometimes people say, well, you know, there's a sentiment out there. I like Jesus, but I don't care for his church. That's like bipolar syndrome or something, right? That you love Jesus but not the church. They're one. We are the body of Christ. And so it's important. And I think about, I was sharing first service, just the idea of the church being like an airplane, right? That if you take an airplane, you disassemble and have all the parts there, not one of those parts can fly on their own. But when you put them together, they're able to, you know, there's airplanes in the sky right now all over the world. They're able to fly. And together, what we can do is pretty incredible. Alone, maybe it looks like what we could do alone doesn't seem significant and large, although we could talk about that. But together, we can accomplish things that are at heights that none of us could do alone. We can soar together. And so recently, just approaching this week and this series, I've just been looking at the church and who we are, and we'll dig into values. These are just some observations, some things that I looked at and said, wow. Oh, you know, and just those aha things that maybe you know, but so I want to share those with you for a few moments before we dig into the word. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 today, but first of all, at elevation, here's one of the things that I know, looking over the last few months and the past year and even years, that we are a traditional church, and here's our tradition: growth and change. Growth and change are a given here. Growth and change are the norm. That when you think about elevation, if you want to find out what is the consistency that I can look for, growth and change. Growth and change. Let me do this. Check this out. You can look around the room when we do this. If you've come to elevation in the last year, shoot your hand up real high for me, just real quick. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Anyway, let's welcome all these people, right? Yeah, yeah. Next steps. You heard Pastor Chad talking about next steps. We've had to pull out more tables because we just don't have enough. We've not had enough room. And you know, I would just say this. If you're not in next steps, you're probably missing out. You are. But anyways, we'll talk about that more. Growth and change. And that's why, you know, during this series, we're doing 21 days of prayer starting today. 21 days of prayer, because we just know this. We need to be a church that's praying. Right? We need to be a church that's praying. And we know that if we want to see growth sustained, and how many know we should be growing? We should be growing spiritually, each one of you, and the kingdom of God should be growing numerically. I believe that's his heart and his desire, right? So to see that continue and to see the change that God wants to do here, it requires prayer. And so I'm encouraging people, pray every day. And maybe you say, well, Pastor, I do that. That's awesome. Maybe you say, I don't, or I've not been praying. I'm just going to encourage you, carve out some time. Morning's usually best. Carve out some time, make it an appointment to spend some time in prayer. I'm not discounting, and I believe in this, ongoing prayer throughout your day. Pray without ceasing means this: we can't always do it on our knees, right? If praying's only a posture, we can't continue to do that all day, right? We won't have anything to eat if we're not doing that, right? So, maybe we would, anyways. But check this out. If you've not been praying, I'm encouraging you to step that up. And if you have, how can you expand? In praying for us, praying for the body, praying for God to work. And then one of the other things that we're going to do to help that is on Tuesday night. Everybody say Tuesday night. Tuesday nights at 7, there's a group that meets here and pray, and I'm going to step in and help lead during this time. So I'm going to be here, and I know many that have already said they're going to be here. But come and join us for corporate prayer. And you may think, well, man, prayer, I don't know, it'd be kind of boring. And I'm just saying, it's not going to be boring, number one, okay? So come, we're going to have a time. And I asked the prayer leaders, I said, so tell me about some answered prayer. And the list is long, and so I can't mention all of them, but I'll mention a few. Joel, his guy he works with named Jason, diagnosed with cancer. They prayed on Tuesday night. 2 weeks later, no cancer. Come on, somebody, right? Yeah. So, yeah. And I know how it happens. Somebody might be sitting here saying, yeah, but Pastor, God doesn't heal today. I'm like, well, go tell that to Jason, because I don't know if he'll agree with you or not. Are you with me? Yeah. And another one, there were three ladies. One of them, my daughter, Samantha, who had high-risk pregnancies. They prayed for them on Tuesday night. Now we have three beautiful babies in our church. Yeah. Mark and Pablo, they're probably doing something. I know they were here earlier. But they were praying about Mexico and to go there on see some family, but also in a mission effort, and incredible things happened while they were there. And they're here on Tuesday night. They prayed over them, praying for resource to come in to make this work, and God provided it marvelously and miraculously so that they could be able to do that. Jen Boffman praying for a job. God gave her the job and gave her a raise, and praying for a house, and God provided that too. Kind of cool stuff. So I'm saying, come Tuesday night and you'll get everything you want. I'm not saying that. I am saying this. You're a day late and dollar short to tell me God doesn't answer prayer. Yeah. And sometimes his answer is no, and that's cool. But a whole lot of times here's what happens. When we get an alignment with what God desires and pray his word and his heart, we see amazing things happen. So just to make sure we understand this, growth and change are the norm. Secondly, we are becoming one church in multiple locations. And that is cool. Yeah. I'm so excited about what God's doing in Avon and the people there and the future that is going to come to pass. It's incredible. And we need to be praying for Avon and the people of Avon. And if you're saying, well, I don't know, I pray every day, work, where else can I pray? There you go. Pray for God to just work on the west side of Indianapolis. Another one. Every Sunday is someone's first Sunday at Elevation. Every Sunday. Now, you say, but Pastor, aren't there some Sundays when nobody's here for the first time? Not in 2018. 2018, every Sunday has been someone's first Sunday. Most generally, multiple people's first Sunday. That's why we do some of the things we do. That's why sometimes you hear something that sounds kind of repetitive or redundant. Well, we want to make sure that everybody gets to hear this. And we talk about next steps, why we want people to connect. We do the things. In fact, this will lead into to the next one, is this. Some observation I have, we want people to want to come back. Yeah. Right? That's a difference in just wanting people to come back. Right? We want people to come back. No, we want them to want to. We want them to want to. And we're thankful. I'm telling you, I am thankful for the moments of ministry. I've watched God over the years do incredible, unbelievable things in just a moment. But I also know this, we need more than just a moment. We need a lifetime of ministry. And so we want people to have the want to be back here. And so then leading to the third one, or the next one, is this. Our desire is to facilitate an encounter with Jesus. Right? We don't be a bunch of people just meeting and trying to smile at each other. And you know what I mean? Anybody with me? Yeah, this is about more than that. In fact, everybody say the word presence. That's why the worship team is meeting early and people are praying and we're spending time going after presence. Because there's a huge difference in being in, I'll use this term, manifest presence, right? God's omnipresence, his presence is everywhere, but there's moments where we move into, Old Testament picture, move into a deeper place in him, into that holy place where, and we've, been there. You've been there where it's like, you know, you put a mint in your mouth and you just like kind of breathe in. Sometimes when I'm in the presence, that's me. It's my experience. It's like, oh, it's like that moment where you just know you're there. We were there today, right? And so, because here's the deal. Everything's in vain if people don't get to meet Jesus. And that's our dependency on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shouldn't be something strange or something we say at baptisms and weddings, or right? The Holy Spirit should be active and working in our midst and in our lives. And it's all about the idea. The Holy Spirit is always pro-Jesus, right? Always pointing people to Jesus. And I believe this, that from the time someone drives into the parking lot to the time they're brought into their seat, worship, word, to the conclusion of all this, it's all to point people to an encounter with Jesus. And, you know, I say this. We want to create a time together that the unchurched and the church find a place that they love this, right? Here's the deal. The unchurched, if you really want to know why the unchurched are unchurched, I can give you a few reasons. It's because they went to that boring church, right? You know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you, if church is boring, you're not doing it right. If you go to church and it's just, you got to wait till, you know, anybody ever been there where it's like drudgery and you got to like, when's this going to be over? And you're like pushing and pushing and pushing. I don't think you're doing it right. Because let me tell you something. If you come to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and it's boring, if you come to worship the one who transformed your life and changed you and brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light and it's boring, there's something wrong with that picture. Anybody with me? Yeah, we should come with expectation and anticipation, bringing our thanksgiving and our praise, ready to go after a time with him together. So why are the unchurched unchurched? Because they went to that boring place. And let me tell you something. I'll give you this. You should never make a decision based on one experience, by the way, right? Yeah. I said this in the first service. I don't know if it's etiquette or not, but I said if someone had diarrhea once and they went to a bathroom, they don't say, I'm never going to a bathroom again. Are you with me? You get that? Yeah. So if this is your first time here and you had some kind of encounter before, we hope that you continue to come to church and you realize that it doesn't have to be boring, that it doesn't have to be drudgery. And I'll tell you why unchurched are unchurched many times, because they went to that place where everybody was unfriendly. You know what I mean? That's why I tell people here, your job, sitting in the seat you're sitting in, is to be a greeter. I mean, we got parking team, we got VIP, we got greeters, we got ushers, we got you covered. We're going to make sure somebody's going to say hi to you, and they're going to shake your hand, they're going to smile at you. But I'm telling you, I love it, man. My heart just goes like this when people tell me, you know, I've been to a lot of churches, but this is the friendliest church I've ever been to. Like, that's good, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. And when I say everybody's a greeter, if you're on a seat with somebody, it's your job, it's your role, it's your responsibility to greet them, right? Because check it out. If you're at home and you're sitting on the couch and you're watching, I don't know. I said Gunsmoke and everybody laughed, so I'll get something more up to date. Happy Days, okay? And somebody sits on the couch with you, and you just keep on watching, and you never engage that person, that is weird. Let me show you something. It's still weird if it's at church. You got to engage the people that don't sit on the same row with somebody, and you never, you're like, you know, Jesus, I'm here for Jesus. Well, you're here to help that person encounter Jesus as well. And so, and then unchurched remain unchurched because they went to that church where it just seemed like they were just after their money all the time, right? You know, on offering number four, they kind of lost them. Yeah. So there are some reasons, and the thing I would tell you is our number one desire is to facilitate an encounter with Jesus. Yeah. And we purposely, a few more observations, we purposely create intentional opportunities to invite others. We do it on purpose. There's going to be times, come September's a big day, we'll tell you more about it as this series progresses, where you can invite someone and you can feel comfortable. I mean, you can do it next week. We're in this series, This Is Us. Great time to invite people, but you can invite people. And then lastly on these, we give, we serve, we love. We give, we serve, we love. Looking over the month of July, let me give you a window of our church that sometimes people don't see. In the month of July alone, this church, the people in this church, not paid positions, these are where people served freely, gave of their time. I don't use this word very much, but volunteered their time, freely gave it. Nearly 1,500 hours given. I'm going to tell you that if those were a number of salary employees to do that, couldn't have enough money to cover that. Incredible picture of how people here serve and give and love. We've been able to do this year things that for years we've dreamed about and wanted to do, staffing and other areas, because this year up to this point has been the largest on record of giving that we've experienced as a church. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. And when Labor Day weekend rolls around, we have an opportunity to walk out of this place and go impact the community and just freely, let me show you this, give, serve, and love on people. Every month we have a team that goes out and does, last month they were in University Park praying over and giving out, just blessing people, and we'll get to do that in a big way on Labor Day. And I just pray that you'll join us as we do that. Book of Acts, chapter 1. I got more, but we need to get into the word, right? Book of Acts, chapter 1. It is a picture of, you know, when you think about This Is Us, Book of Acts is a picture of the church. The New Testament definitely would be incomplete without it, because it is the time to give an account, to put into record what's been happening in the church for those first years of the church. And it's a picture of the church in its infancy, you know, because sometimes I think, I've said this years ago, and I've heard people say it many times, you know, I wish we could just be the Church of Acts, like we could be like that. And really, we should have progressed and developed far beyond that, right? That the book of Acts is beautiful, but that was the baby church. And if our standard and our bar is there, we're 2,000 years into this. And so... So the book of Acts helps us to see that what church is like. And I say this, that if people didn't experience church when they came to Jesus and all they had was the book of Acts to read, they may have a very different picture of what it all looked like. Right? I encourage you, 28 chapters, read it. During this series, if you read a chapter a day, you could breeze through it easily. Chapter 1 kind of jumps in, and you got Luke telling us, as he's the author, telling us what's going on. And then here's Jesus. This is after his resurrection, and he's with his disciples, and he's telling them there's the Holy Spirit's going to come. This is the promise from the Father. He's going to come, go to Jerusalem, wait. King James says tarry, so wait. It's going to be an extended wait. Go wait for the promise of the Father. And then Jesus does this. I kind of picture sound effects with it. I don't know how it went, but he ascends up into the clouds, and they say, hey, he's going to return in like manner. He's going to come in the clouds. And so Jesus ascends, and then they go to wait. About 10 days, they wait, 120 of them. You got the disciples, and you've got Mary and those that were close, and they're waiting to wait on this promise and to come, the Holy Spirit to come. And so as they're waiting... I don't know if anybody's like me, but I'm not a good waiter, right? Anybody share that? Like the whole waiting thing, it bugs me. And I'm not necessarily praying for that to change, because I don't know if I want to enjoy always waiting. And there's good waiting. I don't mean that. But, you know, anybody go to the amusement park and they get that line, it's like an hour and 45 minutes to ride a ride that lasts like a minute and a half or something, you know? And I just can't do that. I'm like, I'm going to Kiddie Land and ride those, you know, or something, because the line just is, I'm not good with it. And so I got a feeling that 10 days, I mean, I know our picture is, but these are real people, right? They're flawed people just like we are. They're there 10 days. in this room waiting, no doubt some of the same things could happen with them that would happen with us. Your mind wanders, and you're like, are we really waiting? What, you know, Jesus promised, we're trusting, but, and then so they realize that there's a vacancy, because Judas has did the thing he's done, right? Betrayed Jesus and is gone, and so they're in this room, and so they decide we need to fill this vacancy, and so we'll pick it up in verse 21 where they are doing that. And verse 21 says, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And so right here, as we read that, they're laying out what the qualifications are going to be for the next one they pick, right? So somebody that's lived the a time period to known Jesus since the baptism of John. They've seen the miracles and the signs and the wonders, and they're a witness to the resurrection. Later on in the epistles, you can say this, that they even needed to have signs and wonders in their ministry. Verse 23, and so they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go down to his own place. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So they're replacing Judas. They got two guys. Joseph, the one that didn't get picked, and it looks like to me they're, you know, casting lots is almost like, here's some straws. You got short straw, you're out, right? Or you know, what do you pick? We're going to roll the dice. What do you pick? And okay, he got it. So, by the way, this is the last time you read of this kind of thing happening, because the Holy Spirit's going to come and they won't need to try to figure out, okay, how do we play games to figure out what God's doing, right? Because now we have the Holy Spirit. So, but here, and I say this because my opinion is, I think Paul's the guy, but you know, I'm not going to argue with what these guys did, because Joseph, he disappears, it looks like to me. There's a few, maybe you could find a place to link him to some other times, but Matthias, you know, like, this is it. Never anymore, not one time in the New Testament is his name mentioned again. In fact, in church history, it's really hard to, I mean, there's a day that, you know, St. Matthias Day, but there's not much you can link to him because he just disappears. But here's what they're shooting for. It says this, that in verse 25, that they wanted someone to take part in this ministry in verse 26, and that he was numbered with them. In fact, it's a lot like the language earlier in that chapter that's used of Judas. Here's what they say about Judas. Verse 17, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. So you got two guys here, and Judas, man, you could spend a lot of time on him. A couple, two, 3 years ago, I spent a Good Friday talking about Judas and who he was. And Judas is a guy who has experienced Jesus in a way that pretty profound, powerful, and significant. He's got to watch Jesus perform miracles. He's got to see the blinded eyes open. He's got to see people walk, be healed and cleansed and dead raised. I mean, Judas has been there. Sometimes he's been a critic. You know, the lady brought the alabaster box, and he's like, okay, because you know, he's the treasurer. He's got the purse. He's got the bag, the money bag. And so he's like, okay, why is she spending that money like that? We could have used that to help the poor. Right? And Jesus turns around and said, the poor will be with you always. That was a true statement, right? Right? And so Judas has been there. He's got to see this. He's heard the teachings. He's watched Jesus deal compassionately with people. He's been there all along. And then Judas blows it, loses it. He's numbered with them. He took part in the ministry. And then you got the new guy they're going to pick, and they pick Matthias to be numbered with them and to be a part of the ministry. And then he never really looks to me like Well, we don't know all the history on Matthias, but by what we see, it looks like he's a picture for us of someone that never really got actively engaged like they could have or should have. And I think those, when I think about Elevation Church, here's the deal with us. We want you to be numbered with us and to take part in this ministry. And that's a call to everyone here. I'll tell you this, that I think that there are significant things we can make a difference doing. Story's been told many times, and you probably heard it before, maybe not, but there's this cruise ship, and a guy, he falls overboard, and it looks like he's drowning. Or maybe he jumped overboard. No, you don't know this in the story, but he's drowning, and all the people are at the edge of the rail, and they're looking over, and somebody needs to help him, and all of a sudden, there goes someone, sound effects, grabs him, gets him up to, and they pull him up, and the guy's safe, and breathing heavy, and everybody's, you know, just so glad this guy got saved, and that the guy that saved him was an older man. Didn't look like maybe somebody younger and stronger would have jumped and did that. And they said, is there anything you want to say? And everybody's so glad, you know, clapping because this guy saved him. He said, yeah. He said, I want to know who pushed me. Yeah. So let me help you. That a lot of times in life, you need somebody that will just push you toward the big things that God has for you. And Elevation Church, here's the thing about us. We're just ordinary people who just believe we need to push one another to accomplish heroic things for the kingdom that we can't do alone. Are you with me? Yeah, you need someone that will help push you toward that. And so the first question is this. Are you numbered? Are you numbered with us? When we say this is us, does that include you? Because I want to tell you, you got to have people that you can count on, and you got and people need to have a church that they can count on as well. And so are you numbered with us? Because there's no army that's ever won a battle without people they could count on. There's no team that ever won the championship without people they can count on. And there's no church that's ever accomplished anything in this world of significance without people that they could count on. And so are you numbered? My granddaughter Sophia, I've got a new one named Lucia, but we haven't started talking to each other yet. We're still just kind of, I talk to her, but she just looks at me. So, and I do all the stuff to try to get her to laugh, and she just looks at me. So, Sophia, we have intense conversations, and she's 2.5. And when her second birthday was coming up, I did this deal where I said, Sophia, because, you know, I like to blow things up big. Right? We're having a big day in September. You need to invite everybody. We got a certain day coming. So I like to blow. That's my life, okay? We're going to White Castle. It's going to be good, okay? It's not. And we're not going, okay? But Sophia, I'm like, second birthday's coming. So I'm wanting her to, like, get what this is about. So I'm saying, Sophia, here's the deal. Your birthday's coming. And I said, when your birthday comes, here's what's going to be. I said, I'm going to be there, and you're going to be there, and Mimi's going to be there. That's my wife. And your mama and your daddy's going to be there, and I'll name off all these people's going to be there. And I said, then we're going to have you all there, and we're going to have a cake and put candles on it, and we're going to sing, and I'll just sing it to her, you know, happy birthday to you. And then she starts singing with me because she's so excited about it, you know, because I've did this to her. I did this to her probably 50 times before her birthday because I'm getting her prepped for it. And I said, and then we're going to say, close your eyes and make a wish, and then you're going to blow out the candles. I said, how are you going to blow out the candles? She said, and she got it down. You know, she's ready for that day to come. She knew how to blow them out. She won't have to wait for one of us to do it. So now, after that birthday, here's what she does. And we're getting ready to do something. I'll say, hey, we're going to go to wherever, the park or wherever she said. She said, oh, you're going to be there, and I'm going to be there, and they're going to be. And she goes down the whole list. Sometimes she includes, you know, like, Miss Jen's going to be there, Miss Carolyn's going to be there. She just goes down the list of people. Because here's the thing. She likes to number the people and think that there's people that are going to be there that she can count on. And all of us have that inside of us, that we want to be numbered with the group. And at some point, and I love Chad's illustration, you know, I don't think I ever did the double Dutch thing. I don't think I could ever jump into that thing. I'm too like this, right? But we're all at that place at some point in our life where we've got to jump in and say, I'm numbered with you. You can count on me. You can count that I'm here. Because check this out. The people around you determines the destiny in front of you. Show me the people you're hanging out with, and I'll show you your future. Show me the people that you're aligning yourself with, and I can show you where you're going to go. So the people around you determine the destiny in front of you. The Bible says this in Proverbs 13 and 20, that when we walk with wise, we walk with the wise, we become wiser. A good friend of mine says this. He said, when you walk with wise, you become wiser, and when you walk with dumb, you become dumber and dumber. Yeah. So I've got to align myself, position myself to be a part. And, you know, we that first connection, again, you heard Chad say it, it's next steps. We're a church of next steps. We're a next steps church. We believe that everyone has a next steps to take, next step to take. And so we just know this, that and we try to lower the bar. We feed you, take care of your kids. We make it about usually less than an hour, so you could just plug in. And next steps is all about. It's four steps. You can do them in any order. You can start with four, go 3, 2, 1, if that's the way you want to do it. Or you can do it in order, or you can do one this month and one next month, or three next month. You can just do it. We set it up that way so you can plug in wherever you need to plug in to make it work for you so that you can be numbered. And what does it look like to be numbered as a part of Elevation? Well, I'd say this. First of all, it's this idea that Elevation, when you're numbered, it means you're people who protect the universe, or the unity of the church, right? You protect that. And how do we do that? We do it by acting in love. I think people in church should love each other, right? I mean, if you just want to be hateful, there's some church that will entertain you with that for a while, but we just believe that we ought to act in love. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. Yeah, I don't ask for amens a lot, Bill. By refusing to gossip, just shutting it down, you know? And it'll happen. It happens in every church. Somebody will come to you and say, yeah, I didn't lie, blah, 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 you know? And it's just that, Bill, you can do it nicely. Stop. You can do it however you want to, but just refusing to entertain that and be a part of it. And embracing vision. This is where we're going. It's not two visions. It's not three visions. It's not division. It's we're going the same direction together. Because we're numbered together in this. And then people who share the responsibility, you shoulder the load. That's what makes the load bearable, because there's many of us doing it. And so it's praying for growth and health. How do we share the load, the responsibility? Pray for growth and health. Invite unchurched people to attend. Check it out. There's people in your life. It'd be this simple if you just invite them to come. I just did it to a guy the other day. I was at the cash register at Rural King. Some of you already heard this story. His name's Justin. And I just said, Justin, he may be here today. I don't know. I said, Justin, I didn't have time to go down Romans Road with him and explain to him. But to make a simple invite, it's pretty simple, right? There's just those opportunities that are available. And I would say this, it's sharing that responsibility. And I said earlier, welcoming those who visit, if somebody's on a seat next to you, right? And then thirdly, people, here's how we are numbered together. People who help make the vision a reality, right? It's one thing to talk about vision. It's a whole other thing when you see that become real and it begins to happen. And so that, I'm going to tell you some ways that happens. By faithfully being present. I know. You know, there's an underwater basket weaving class that goes on at 10:45 on Sunday somewhere probably. This seems really important. But there's probably one some other time. Okay? And I know, I never will forget, I had one guy come to me, he always came to the second service, and he was at the 9, he was like here at like 8:45, and he had his Colt shirt on and stuff, and I said, man, like, what's going on? He said, well, I'm going to the Colts game today, and I want to make sure I got here early enough so that I can come to church before I go to the Colts game. And I said, you know, I don't ever make it a legal thing, right? If you miss a service, you know, if you miss one service, you're not going to hell. Two, we'll have to pray for you. But okay. But here's what the deal was. He could have just skipped church altogether and went. But his commitment to be here was, I'm going to get up early, and I'm going to make sure I'm gathering together with the people that I call, the people I'm numbered with, so then I can go do this thing. And you know what I think? I think that commitment level is the idea of saying, I'm going to be faithful, and faithful to life groups, to the group meetings, and to faithful to live this out. How does vision become a reality? When we live out this thing and we walk it out in our life. And it happens by giving regularly, that we give of the blessing that God has brought in our life. And so, and then the second question will sum up the other way that we're numbered, and that is, are you taking part in this ministry? Are you taking part in this ministry? It's discovering your gifts, talents, abilities, so that you can connect them to what God is doing at Elevation Church. We know in our world, here's what happens. Every person on this planet, the 7 billion people on this planet, are all consumers, right? Unless you're dead, you're consuming. From time of birth, in fact, when babies come into this world, they're beautiful and they're a blessing and they're uncomfortable and inconvenient at times, right? Because babies are, I mean, they contribute something to our life that nothing else would like that, but they consume. They just wow, and you go, okay, we got to feed you, I need to burp you, I need to change you, what I need, because they're consuming, and for a number of years, that will be the place that baby is only a consumer. But at some point, it becomes a contributor, right? Anybody remember the first day or the first time when your mom or dad said, okay, here's the chores you're going to do? I remember it was very fun the first time I got to help wash the car, because I never got to do that. And then it wasn't as fun when I was the guy that was washing the car while it was washed, right? Or cutting the grass. Oh, it's so exciting to get behind the lawnmower and push that thing. I'm a man now. I'm getting to cut the grass, make sure the rows are straight. And then it's hot and sunny, and you're out there pushing that thing, because now you are a contributor, not just a consumer. And in our world, sometimes we have people who are only consumers and don't contribute, but and that's just the way the world is sometimes. But in the church, that shouldn't be the case, right? We're all consumers, but we all need to step up to a place where we're contributors as well. That we're not just saying, I'm here just to receive, but we're also saying I'm here to give out. There's talents, there's abilities, there's a gift or gifts that God has placed in my life, and I want that to something to flow out of me. And you get different responses. Some people will say, well, you know, I'm not a people person. I don't like people, and I don't know. Maybe they were on a gift discovery or I'm sorry, personality profile, and they found that out. And then they'll say something like, I don't like people, which is not accurate, but we'll go with it. And I don't like people. And really, nobody's like that. You say, yeah, I don't like people. Well, you do. You get sick enough, in bad enough shape, you'll like a doctor and a nurse that'll come and try to take care of you. Are you with me? If you get jobless, you'll like an employer that will hire you and give you a job. If you get to the place that... That your house is on fire, you'll love the firefighters who come to stop that from happening. We like people. The problem is, and this is dangerous when it happens in the Christian community, is if we use that as an excuse to never give out of ourselves. Because what happens is we become like leeches, Christian leeches, just sucking life out of something and never giving back to it. You see, it's healthy when you give out. Reason the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea is not because it doesn't have life coming into it, but there's nothing coming out of it, right? And so it's the idea that I'm not just a consumer. I'm going to be a consumer till I leave here, right? We're going to be consumers till we leave this earth, but that I also am a contributor. And that's why we do this thing called the Dream Team. Very rarely will you hear me use the word volunteer, because we never want anyone to volunteer at Elevation Church. In fact, I say this, I say it very firmly, we don't need volunteers. We never need volunteers. What we need is people who have discovered their passion, gift, and abilities. And because they've discovered that, they realize that God has a purpose for their life, and they can be a part of the team that makes the dream happen here. Because here's what a volunteer does. Here's what a volunteer does. So I look at Matt and I say, hey, Matt, I'm going to be moving September the 15th. And I got some heavy stuff. And I'm just needing you to come and help me. And Matt's like, well, I got time with my little boy and my wife. I was planning. But because I know you and you've asked me and I'm your friend, so I can't say no. Watching what I'm doing here? I'm going to come and help you. And so he's given up something that he would rather do or wants to do something that I need him to do. That's what volunteering is. Yeah. In fact, I kind of drafted him, but that's volunteering. Okay? Yeah. When you discover how God has wired you and created you and designed you, and you realize that you can connect with the big picture of making something happen that is incredible and significant in this world, you don't have to give up something that you want to do. You get to do the thing you were created to do, and we get to do it together. And that teamwork makes the dream work. And that's how we reach a city, and that's how we make a dent in the number of people that are headed into eternity without God. Yeah. And then some people, I've had this conversation. So these are out of real conversations I've had with people, so. And it's really funny when I get that passion in front of them, we're standing there talking, okay. And the conversation where, well, you know, I don't really want to serve. I want to grow deeper. I want to go deeper with Jesus. I'm like, all right. Well, let me show you something. It's not another Bible study you need. I love what John Maxwell, a great leadership guru, says. How many services, how many church services does it take before we get it? And we take what we've gathered and we put it to use. I'm big on know your Bible, get in the Word. And I don't want to lose emphasis on that. Yeah, you need to do that. And we create opportunities. Our life groups are a place for you to plug in and to go deep. I encourage you to read. In fact, I don't know if I said it, but did I say it in the service? 28 chapters in the book of Acts? Read the book of Acts. I'm not playing. Do it. It'll help you, okay? But let me show you something. Sometimes we use some excuse that only studying is going to make us deeper with Jesus. And the fact is, I know some people that know theology and know God's word pretty good, but they have a very surface level relationship with Jesus, because you can grow a whole lot in that aspect. But if you don't put it to work and use in your life, you see, when I serve, I believe this: serving is one of the most Christ-like things you can do. Jesus didn't come to earth just to do the Sermon on the Mount. He was here. That was the outflow of who he was. His teaching is who he was. We look back to it and it's incredible. It's life-changing. You need to get into the Word of God. But he came not to be served, but to serve. He came to serve. And when we're not serving, we're not activating the stuff that we've gained in here. And so what happens is we don't exercise the muscles spiritually that we have so that we can grow stronger. And so here's the way it works. You get something out of here, you go release it and use it, and you go back and you get something out of here, but never let that be an excuse to not serve. See, I believe this, serving is when we become very Christ-like, when we continue to say, I need to grow deeper and know more and more and more. That sounds very Pharisaical to me. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they were pretty skilled at doing Bible studies. Jesus came to serve. And let me tell you something. He was not a wimp on the Word of God, right? He was the Word. So I want, Josh, if you'll come. I want to do this. You can lay your Bibles aside. And I want to do this. Because taking part in this ministry, I think it's a big deal. And what happens is, I give you two of the reasons sometimes. People say, I'm not a people person. People say, you know, I want to go deeper in another way or whatever. Sometimes we get hung up on the area of And we get stuck. And we don't move forward because of something that happened in our past. I said earlier, unchurched or unchurched, and I'll give you some reasons. People that love the church and are a part of the church, sometimes they don't get activated in ministry because of something that's happened in their past. It could be hurt. It could be a wound. It could be they were burnt somehow. It could be abusive leadership. It could be that something happened and they were pushed out or ostracized. I get it. Jesus loves his church, but his church is made up of flawed people, right? So I get that, but I also know this. Boy, there's an enemy of your life that would love for you to stay stuck right where you're at and keep that gift hidden and the dream that you have to really do something for God in a place where it never happens in your life. And my challenge today, and listen, I'll be honest with you. This isn't some plea to get people to serve. There's no ministry fair out there for you to go sign up on anything, right? This isn't some like, you know, shell game where we're going to try to do something here and then you'll go out there and you'll put your name on. None of that. This is for you. This is for you. We've had church today. Everything, all the needs were met as far as all the things that need to be, people in positions. It's not about that. It's about the idea that when you step out of that box that you've been stuck in, whether it's hurt, abuse, or maybe you stepped out and tried and just felt like failure. Failure is very real. If you've ever done anything for God, you're going to experience failure at some point. Not because of him, but because of our flawed ability and because of real life situations. And the deal is you got to fail forward, not backward, right? And so there's an enemy of your soul that would like to keep you there so you never experience what God has for you. And so what I want you to do is if you'll stand with me for a moment, just quickly give us an opportunity to pray.